Wake the kids, phone the neighbors, bring in the pets. It's time for the Brenham Sports Line. Sports talk with a local attitude. The Brenham Sports Line brought to you by Class Care Cleaner, South Mark Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing. Tonight on the Brenham Sports Line, it's our annual Super Bowl special, and we'll be talking Brenham Cubet softball tonight on the Brenham Sports Line. Props going out to Heine Minush and his all-star band, and our sponsors, Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaner, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything that they do. And tonight, coming up in the second half of the Brenham Sports Line, it is Cubettes softball coach Katie Roberts and members of the Cubettes going to be in studio for the second half of the program tonight from 6 to 6:30. First half of the program, we are talking Super Bowl. And as always, in studio, excited about the Super Bowl, our mascot, Mookie the Rabid Badger. He knows it's Super Bowl time. He's excited. He's fired up. He's ready to go. Just stay away from the cage. Meanwhile, also in studio with us, and stay away from his cage as well, Craig Montana, as we talk Super Bowl 2018, Super Bowl LII. Lee. Super Bowl Lee.
Stranger danger.
Huh?
Stranger danger. Who are you?
Oh.
Okay.
Funny.
I haven't seen you so long. I forgot what you look like.
Oh, one day. I was gone today.
It's been a few days.
I was gone today. You were gone Saturday. See, I was here Saturday.
Yeah.
So and I did.
Our schedules can't sync up.
And if you hadn't said anything, I wouldn't realize you weren't here.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. That's it.
So, yeah. The L L I the L.
Yeah. L I I.
L L I.
No. L I I.
L I I.
Yeah.
That's what I said, isn't it?
No, you said LLI.
Oh.
That would have been Super Bowl 101. That would have been a Super Bowl 101.
I've heard it both ways.
So, anyway. No, you haven't. But anyway. Yeah, it is the Super Bowl, and our Super Bowl special here on AM 1280 and on KennedyHI.com. And you can watch us right now. Ooh, mm-hmm. On Facebook.
I don't know why you'd want to,
Yay.
But you can.
No, you probably want to hold off on Facebook until
20 some minutes,
because then we will have Coach Katie Roberts and the members of the Cubettes in studio.
Yeah.
So
people who deserve to be seen on the interwebs.
You and I,
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
About it.
But anyway, the Super Bowl is here. The hype about to begin, because both teams are in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And tonight is the first of the insane press conferences. They have a whole row of podiums set up.
The whole field, man.
Coaches and players will be at the podiums and stuff tonight to answer questions. And here we go. Some people will. There are They said a number of people that will not be at the podiums tonight. Actually, tonight is like a special one. I believe the full-fledged media, the media day is tomorrow when...
Yeah. It's tomorrow or Wednesday, one of the two, yeah.
When all of the reporters just descend like locusts.
From all over the world, man.
Yeah, asking some of the dumbest questions in the history of mankind.
Well, you get people that are covering it that don't know anything about it. And,
well,
you know,
well
that,
and
it's not their fault.
And there are people there that... have nothing to do with football. They don't want anything to do with football. They're there because, well, you know, like
you have
that.
To be. It's where that's yeah. the news.
Yeah,
it's the big deal, man.
So you know, you have people from like foreign press corps and foreign press outlets mm-hmm. who aren't there to cover a football game. They're there so that they can be seen and that they can be part of the program. Like,
yeah.
The woman that shows up every year, 1 year was dressed in a bride's gown and proposed to Tom Brady.
No, that was Ricky Williams that did that.
Oh, Ricky Williams, yeah. and just silly, insane people that ask stupid things for stupid outlets and stuff. And,
it's a worldwide thing now.
Yeah.
I mean, NFL is everywhere. You know,
so
they're playing out across the pond and down south everywhere. So,
but
people are interested.
So they'll ask stupid questions, and we'll get hopefully appropriate answers.
Depends on who you ask.
Hopefully, they will receive appropriate answers to their stupid questions.
Yeah.
I wish the guy that asked Jim McMahon about reincarnation, I wish he'd have asked, like, Bill Belichick that question.
I wouldn't even waste my breath on asking that guy.
He would have just been, get out of here. Get out of here.
I don't see people insist on asking him questions. He's a jerk. He doesn't want to answer questions.
Oh, he's not a jerk.
He is.
Yeah. Just because you don't like him.
No, he gets asked legitimate questions.
Just because you don't like the guy, he's a jerk. No, because he doesn't answer stupid questions.
No, not stupid questions.
Oh,
he just asks legitimate questions about something. You're like, I don't care. He's ask him about how you feel about being the AFC champion.
I would much rather interview Jason Garrett, who's going to go off on stupid answers to stupid questions.
He gives
stupid questions to quality answers because he's too stupid to answer real questions.
No, let me finish my statement.
So,
you asked Bill Belichick about how he feels about being an AFC mm-hmm. champion or something like that, and he was just like, it's a stupid trophy, I don't care, next question.
His answer is it's a good win, but now we're concentrating on the Philadelphia Eagles. Because that's the truth. Because that's what they're doing. They're concentrating on the Philadelphia Eagles. They don't.
You can revel in your victory a little bit and not be a jerk to everybody
else. Not when the goal is to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal, to win the Super Bowl.
So you're telling me that 2 minutes he's taking to answer a question is going to eat into his time to be a world champion?
No, he's being honest. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. All he cares about is now winning the Super Bowl.
No, but he does it all the time for even other legitimate question about something. He's like, whatever, next question.
Yeah, okay.
He's a jerk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a jerk with 5 Super Bowl rings and fixing to have 6.
Doesn't make you any less of a jerk.
He's pretty much considered now, as I've listened to all of the pundits, it's not unanimous, but considered pretty much now as maybe the greatest coach in NFL history. And I would take him over any other coach. Because you can be as friendly and outgoing as you want to be, but you know what? It's a business. Bottom line, win. You don't win?
I'll give him that, but he's still a jerk.
Because one of the great quotes ever was one of the Raiders, I believe it was John Matuszak. They asked about, they played in the AFC championship game, and it was a great game, but they lost. And they asked Matuszak, I know it's disappointing, but what about the season? He says, what do you want to know about the season? Well, what about this great season? You guys said, season wasn't great. You win the Super Bowl. That's all your season's about. If you don't win the Super Bowl, then it was a waste. Then it was a waste of a season. And that's how every NFL team should believe.
Yeah, take every, a little bit something.
No, if you don't, if you, because
nobody remembers who comes in second, but still.
If this was college football, it would be one thing. This is professional football. The job is to win the Super Bowl, not to give a good showing and you know, and make sure the alumni are real happy. No, it's the National Football League. You're getting paid to win football games, and that's it. If you don't win the championship, then it's a wasted season.
You just won your conference. Take a minute and be happy about it.
No, the ultimate prize is the Super Bowl, and that's all that counts. And as soon as that playoff game is over, next playoff game is what's on, which is what should be on your plate.
Yeah, you want to win, but you know what? Take 5 minutes and be grateful that you just won a game that gets you to where you want to be at. That 2 minutes is going to cost you the Super Bowl if you go, oh, yeah, great win. Guys are great. Glad for it. Now let's get back to business.
Yeah. Go State. Go State.
No.
Ra-ra-sis-boomba.
We won a game. It was no different than it's a big game. It's
yippee,
a championship game.
Oh, boy. Go team. Rah-rah.
5 minutes is going to hurt you.
It's a business.
It's not a business.
Yes, it is a business. The National Football League is a business.
It's a game.
No.
It's a game.
It's not.
It's a game.
It's a game if you're playing for the love of your school and the love of your friends and your family. If you're getting a paycheck, it's a business. And the bottom line of the business is to win the Super Bowl.
Be happy about your wins.
So, you know, and so if you're a fan, yeah, you can revel in all the wins you want if you're a fan. If you're a coach, if you're a player, your job is to win the Super Bowl. Anything less, and you haven't done your job. No. And that's all there is to it.
I'll give you that. But you can't be happy about it?
That is the sad reality of professional sports. Okay? The fans can be happy. If you're a fan, you can be as happy as all get out. You can party like crazy if you're a fan. All right? But if you're a player, if you're a coach, then your site is the Super Bowl. If you notice after the Super Bowl, everybody's smiling, happy and stuff, but, you know, leading up to that, no, because that's not their job. Their job is not to...
Their job is to win that game, and they just did their job.
No, their job
game.
Is to win the Super Bowl. That's
one game at a time. They just won that game. Be
their
happy
job
that you won that game. Then tomorrow, go out and get ready for business.
Let's ask the Cowboys how much fun winning those
games. We're not here talking about the Cowboys right now.
Let's ask the Giants how much fun it was to win those three games they won this year. Those three wins, that was exciting winning those three games, wasn't
it? You win, you be happy.
No!
You won your game.
Sucked.
You won your game.
Your job
that day was win the game. You did your job that day.
Let's ask Jacksonville how much fun it was to lose that game last Sunday.
Jacksonville had a heck of a season. They're happy about where they got.
And how much fun was it to come within one game of making the Super Bowl? They're all going to tell you it stinks.
No.
Why? Because they're professionals and they understand what the business is and what this game is about.
No.
It's about winning the Super Bowl.
No.
That's it.
If you don't enjoy your job and everything,
you can enjoy your job, but if you don't get the job done,
no,
I'm sorry that you know.
But I'm not saying I'm talking about in that moment.
Hey,
I'm not talking about the whole in 5 minutes. You can't be happy for 5 minutes.
Hey, Atlanta, how much fun was it to get to the Super Bowl last year?
It was a championship game, but they're happy. You know, getting their halftime, they're happy. You know what? Yeah,
And then after they won the game to get to the Super Bowl, the attention became on the Super Bowl. Didn't quite turn out like they wanted to, sorry. I mean, you can be proud of your accomplishments and everything, but I'm sorry. You know, until you win the Super Bowl, that's the ultimate prize of your job. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what teams are in it for. They're not in it to look good and to be cheerful. They're in it as a profession to win. That's the difference between the NFL and college football. College football, great. Wear your team colors and go crazy and love your school. And you can love your NFL team too. But in the National Football League, the bottom line is you're there to win championships. And that's all there is to it.
It's the same difference.
So and
you
because,
want to win, but
and
you, because, this is very
because
cynical
they take a
bus- and dark
no,
approach
they
to it.
They take a business-like approach to it. They take a business-like approach to it. And that's all there, you know. They treat it like it is. They treat it like
it is. But still, you got to be happy and enjoy your wins. That was a big win.
They treat it like it is.
Especially you know, come from behind victory like that.
They treat it like it is. They treat it like a business. No. They treat it like that. The fan base is happy, yes. The owner's happy. The players are happy, but the coaching staff, their job is to win a Super Bowl. And so it's like, yeah, it was a nice win, but we got to get ready now for the next game. And that's all there is to it.
5 minutes is going to hurt you. That's all I'm saying. Enjoy it at some point. The guy doesn't enjoy anything.
It's all sunshine and rainbows and puppy dogs and unicorns.
Why are you taking it that far? I'm not taking it that far. Just like show some gratitude that you just won a game. I don't want to say like you got to go crazy and rock out like he does, Gronk does, but just be happy. We won a game. We beat our opponents.
Well, if you ever notice, every time they win a Super Bowl, he's happier than hell. He's jumping up and down and waving his arms and smiling and laughing, and he's all grin, smear to ear. You know why? Because they did their job.
No.
That's what the NFL's about, a job. It's a whole different world than high school and college football. It's a whole different world because there's a paycheck involved, and you have to do your job. Now, the job at hand is Super Bowl 52. We've got a very interesting matchup.
I guess.
two teams that, the Eagles weren't the favorites, but there were quite a few people who picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl.
They were the favorites up until Wentz tore his knee up.
Well, I mean, but they weren't the preseason favorites.
Oh, no. By far.
When Carson, yeah. But the thing is that the Eagles, there were people that thought the Eagles were going to make the Super Bowl before the season started. They did think it was going to be a great season for the Eagles. They thought it was going to be Carson Wentz taking them to the Super Bowl. But it wound up being Nick Foles. But, you know,
they want to be in their defense is what's
going to be. Yeah, defense, but also, in the playoffs, the number one rated quarterback in the playoffs, Nick Foles, highest quarterback rating in the playoffs. Nick Foles.
Well, the guy's veteran.
Granted, his last two regular season games weren't what they wanted. But come playoff time, he showed up. He's had two great games in the playoffs. Like I said, he's got the highest quarterback rating in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. That's his job.
Yeah.
Don't mess up.
And he's also making some great throws. Early on in that Minnesota game, he made some big throws. He made some big passes in that early on in the Minnesota game.
That was too easy of a game.
Because he's quarterbacking an offense that right now can't run the football. I mean, they've got a couple of big backs that can get you some yards when you need it. LeGarrette Blount is a great short yardage third back down. Jay Ajayi is the kind of guy that can get you some plays here and there, can get you some yardage, but he's not a guy that you're going to get 120, 130 yards out of.
He's a volume back. You give enough carries, he'll get there. He'll nickel and dime you.
Yeah. Their running game is not all that great, but so Foles is going to have to do it through the air. Mm-hmm. One thing that the Patriots defense does, although they've, you know, their defense hasn't been as dominant this year as it has been in the past.
No, not at all.
But one thing the Patriots defense does is it takes away your best player. And that's what makes them good. That's the way they have beaten teams, and they did it this year again, is your defense will game plan to stop your best player, which means you've got to go to your second, third, fourth options if you're going to beat.
Look at the Eagles. Who's the best player, though?
Yeah.
Zach Ertz?
We'll see. I think what you'll see against the Eagles is they would probably figure, judging by his playoff performances, is they will consider Nick Foles their best offensive player going in, and they will probably scheme to get in the face of Foles and force him to try and get out of the pocket, which Foles has got decent legs, but he's not a good out-of-the-pocket passer. No. He likes to sit back there. So I would imagine what you will see the Patriots do is they will put together a scheme, some blitzes, some rushes. They'll get some safety, some linebacker blitzes. They'll get in his face. They'll try and force him to try and get out of the pocket. which will make him a less effective quarterback. And I think that's how they'll attack Foles. I don't think they will earmark one of the wide receivers or one of the running backs as that key guy.
I think they go after
Foles and try to make him uncomfortable. Yeah. And try to make it get him to move out of the pocket.
I just don't see if you're gonna, that game plan of the best player. I just don't know who it would be.
Yeah, they usually figure somebody out.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the best player.
Yeah,
but I just don't know who that would be.
Yeah, so they will. So they'll try that. Now, if you're Philadelphia defensively, what do you do against the Patriots? Okay.
Know.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Yeah. Well, it's my Tony Romo thought on the
yeah,
whole thing.
Yeah. Nice, Tony. Hi, he,
hi. You make him run the ball. Uh-huh. Take away Tom Brady. You know, I don't know how you do that because you take Gronk out of the game. He gets a concussion. All of a sudden, Danny Amendola steps up and he's the guy. It's not Brandon Cooks. It's not. He's like Danny Amendola.
Well, Amendola. Look at the game he had against.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think Philadelphia, the key is they're probably going to have to double team Gronk. And that would. But then there comes Amendola and Cooks.
Well, you're going to single coverage. Well, Brandon Cooks and Amendola, that's going to be.
Cooks, you know. Cooks could have a huge Super Bowl. And then.
But, you know, Philadelphia, their defense has done that, though, against these high-powered offenses.
But then you look, just like last year, running back for the Patriots.
Which one?
They've got
20 of them.
Well, but I mean the one that was the star of the last game.
Oh, James White.
I mean, he was the star of the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and he's gonna and he's
going to, James who? Yeah, James
he's a
White.
Big game. He's a big game player. He's a big game player. He was big in all the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
he's had two good games in the playoffs this year, and he's leading up to the Super Bowl. So, if you go after. Yeah, if you go after Brady, if you double team Gronk, or if you double on any of the wide receivers, here comes James White again. And he proved last year in the Super Bowl, he proved last week in the AFC Championship game that he's a very dangerous back.
Yeah.
He's not a 1,000-yard guy.
No. Well,
he's not a dominant 30 carry a game guy.
No.
But he will kill you in his 15 carries.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, last year I think it was a fluke because he didn't do anything in the second half when Atlanta was playing not to lose the game, and it cost them winning the game.
Nobody from the Patriots did anything until the second half last year.
Yeah,
you know nobody
did anything. So I mean,
he didn't do anything. Atlanta. He only scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, you know, second half of the game when they came
touchdowns,
back.
4 touchdowns, that's nothing.
I just said the first half of the game. I mean, do you not listen to what I just said?
Not much anymore.
Not much anymore,
I'll tell you that.
Nothing the first half. Anyway. Second half when Atlanta did anything. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be him.
He's a big game. He's a big game back. Right. I think he could be the difference again this year.
We'll see.
Sam. All right.
I don't know.
Any, let's see. We've only got a couple of more minutes. So, time to make your prediction.
I don't want to.
Okay.
It makes me feel dirty having to do
and
this.
What was your preseason prediction?
Who was it? I don't even remember. I think it was it Colts and Cowboys? No, that was last year. Who was it?
I think it was, did you go with the Cowboys? You went with the Cowboys. I know that.
Yeah.
I know you picked the Cowboys.
Did I pick the Cowboys? Yeah.
Yes.
The Cowboys.
And it was either the Steelers or the Patriots.
Probably the Steelers.
And you picked one of the two.
I know I didn't pick the Patriots.
Because we both had New England and Pittsburgh in the championship game.
Yeah. It was probably the Steelers then. I probably picked the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because I would never pick the Patriots.
Well, I had Philadelphia going to the NFC championship game.
Uh-huh.
I had them going to the championship game, losing to, I believe it was Green Bay.
Mm.
Yes, I had, with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, who knows. But anyway.
Yeah, they were.
But, you know, if some butts were candies and nuts, you know what they say.
You got that right.
But I had Philadelphia going to the NFC championship game, getting beaten by Green Bay. And then I had a New England Green Bay Super Bowl. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Well, but we'll see. So, all right. How about your? How about? All right. We got about another. We got about a minute. So,
a minute.
Who's your pick? Who's your pick to win the game?
Let's see. Maybe I can get a little jinx on this. I'm gonna go Eagles. Why not? You're gonna go Patriots. So I'll play devil's advocate. I'll go that route.
But I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a lot closer game than people think it's going to be.
It just depends
how the
Eagles' defense plays. If they play like they've been playing, then yeah.
I think the Patriots win it 24-21. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be 24-21. 24-21, 24-20, somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay. I don't know.
I take the Patriots.
I just say give me straight up. Eagles. Eagles over the Patriots. And hopefully, the Eagles don't win.
Wow. You hate the Cowboys, or you hate the Eagles so much.
Yeah.
You would root for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, I'll get you a Tom Brady jersey for the game.
I don't know.
For the game.
Not going to go that far.
This is the Brenham Sports Line, Sports Talk with a Local Attitude. Coming up, we're talking Brenham Cubbett softball after the news on KWHI.
This is a Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. No shortcuts. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we aren't afraid to fail, when we outwork and outheart everyone, this is the beer we'll drink. We've got things to do. Great, big, amazing, life-changing things to do. Ambition in one hand, Budweiser in the other. So when that prototype finally works, when we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore, when we win championships we're not supposed to win, when we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This is the beer we drank for the last 140 years, so it's going to be the beer we'll drink for 140 more. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and dry cleaners.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Chuck Severton. Regarding the FBI, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe's decision today to step down, Presidential Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president wasn't part of this decision-making process, and we would refer you to the FBI.
Mr. Trump on Twitter accused McCabe of bias because his wife was a political candidate who accepted contributions connected to Democrats. Reaction from two Republican senators, Louisiana's John Kennedy.
Vast majority of the members of the FBI are apolitical, dedicated, hardworking men and women that keep us safe. Having said that, some legitimate questions have been raised about possible bias.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
There'd be nobody left in town if everybody left their job who was critical of. So.
Republicans in the House Intelligence Committee have just voted to release a memo written by their chairman, California's Devin Nunes, about which has been speculated to show misuse of surveillance by the FBI and political bias by the department. But almost nobody's seen the memo. The committee has also voted not to release a memo written by Democrats. Attending tomorrow night's State of the Union speech, Carmen Yulin Cruz, mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, invited by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, New York Democrat, reminding people a lot of the island still without power since Hurricane Maria. Facing charges.
Adrian Washington worked at the L.A. County Superior Court in Compton. She handled ticket fine payments. People would come, pay their tickets, thinking the money was going to the right place. But prosecutors say Washington was keeping a portion of that money for herself. It allegedly happened about a dozen times, totaling over $1,500 being siphoned off into her own pockets. Now, Washington is charged with misappropriating public money, and if found guilty, she could get up to 4 years in state prison. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Led by tech companies, Wall Street's major indexes closed sharply lower for the day. This is ABC News.
When was the last time you said, I love... No, really. When was the last time you said, I love my pillow? We think we know why this is so difficult. As soon as you lay on it, it needs to be scrunched and adjusted, which some pitch man convinced you is a good thing. And in the middle of the night, it starts all over again. For the last 10 years, I Love My Pillow has only been available in the finest bedding shops. The secret to I Love My Pillow is in our proprietary homemade foam. I guarantee you'll be saying, I love my pillow. Go to ilovemypillow.com to get sized for your custom-made pillow, handcrafted in the heart of America.
Go to ilovemypillow.com and get 40% off. Use promo code LOVE for a limited time offer. That's ilovemypillow.com and use promo code LOVE for 40% off.
The Pentagon's investigating the online posting by GPS tracking company Strava of a map showing locations of U.S. military personnel wearing fitness trackers. ABC News military consultant and retired Marine Colonel Steve Ganyard.
This is something that the Defense Department has never had to think about. Somebody probably never realized the kind of security breach or the security risk that it would entail.
The Pentagon says the GPS data has not compromised the location of U.S. troops in classified or sensitive locations. While some fans bemoan the Cleveland Indians announcing they will take the cartoon Indian chief Wahoo off their caps and jerseys next year. This from activist Phil Yenyo of the Committee of 500 Years of Dignity and Resistance.
I don't understand waiting until 2019. Why not do it this year? And while we're at it, just change the name of the team, because that's part of it. If you don't change the name of the team, you're still going to have fans going down there wearing headdresses, painted up in red face.
Chuck Sieverton, ABC News.
I'm Craig Montana, the KWHI local news update. Five people arrested by Brandon police over the weekend on various charges, including a Friday morning arrest. Officer Keijan Melhorn dispatched to the 2700 block of Highway 36 in reference to a hit and run. After further investigation, it was determined that a male driver, Jack Banker, 45, of Brenham, struck an unattended vehicle, left the scene without providing his information. Dispatch also confirmed that Banker had an active parole warrant. Banker located and arrested for striking an unattended vehicle in the parole warrant. Unattended burn pile causing a grass fire in northern Washington County Sunday afternoon. Brenham Fire Department and Prairie Hill Fire Department just called out Sunday intersection of Slopeman Road and Old Independence Road. Took firemen about 40 minutes to get the grass fire under control. Approximately 20 acres were burned in the fire. Coming up this Saturday, the Family Crisis Center holding a dinner and dance fundraiser. The theme of this year's event is Superhero Soiree. Now, the superhero theme this year, not only because of its popularity, but to honor the people who work at the Family Crisis Center and change people's lives every day. Tickets are $60 per person at the available by calling the Family Life Center or going online to eventbrite.com. It'll be held Saturday, 6 to 11 p.m. at the Silos on 77 in Giddings. And memorial services have been set for the Todd Mission police chief who died suddenly last Wednesday. Johnny Martinez had served as police chief at Todd Mission for 2 years, died of a sudden heart attack in his office last Wednesday. Visitation for Martinez will be held at Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hillier Funeral Home in Bryan. Funeral set for 11 o'clock Wednesday morning at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Bryan. Public reception honoring Martinez's life will be held at the Elks Lodge in Bryan Wednesday afternoon following graveside services. Coming up, weather forecast, sunny skies on Monday with a high of 61, 34 the low overnight with clear skies. On Tuesday, sunny and a high of 64. For KWHI News, I'm Craig Montana.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Community Corner on KWHI AM 1280. Community Corner is a program to keep you informed about happenings in the Washington County area. Tuesday, January 30th, Craig will be speaking with Deanna Warmke about Casas Casino Night. If you have an event that you are planning and would like to share the information with the public, contact Holly at 979-836-3655. Community Corner, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Friendly Country KWHI.
Tune in to the live broadcast of the Washington County Chamber of Commerce and the Brenham Industrial Foundation's annual banquet on Tuesday, January 30th at 7 p.m. Find out who is named Man and Woman of the Year, the Blue Blazer of the Year, and hear the keynote speaker, Dr. Henry Masoma of the May School of Business at Texas A&M. This broadcast is brought to you by Citizen State Bank, Whitner Plumbing, LaRoche Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Norman's Pharmacy, and Thielemann Construction, Stegent Thielemann Plumbing.
Welcome back to the Brenham Sports Line, Sports Talk with a Local Attitude. And again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. The first half of the program talked Super Bowl, and now here in the second half of the program, we are talking softball as the Brenham Cubettes are in the house here as we talk here in the second half of the Brenham Sports Line, brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and by Classic Air Cleaners, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And as we mentioned, the softball season about to get underway. Practices are well underway. And this past Saturday night, big event out at the Washington County Fairgrounds Events Center. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, let's talk about the start of the 2018 season and the new head coach of the Brenham Cubettes, Coach Katie Bush Roberts. And Coach, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm glad you had me.
Great to have
us, I should say.
That's it. Great to have you here. And of course, everybody excited about the start of the 2018 season. How much fun you guys having so far?
You know, they've been working really hard. I was impressed our first couple days of practice. I thought they've got to prove themselves the rest of the year because they started at a pretty high note. So now I thought the week went by so fast, and then now here we are. We start playing tomorrow, you know. So I feel like there's still time that we need to get together as a team and work and figure out where we're at. But tomorrow is where we start doing that as well, too. So.
All right, and of course, things getting underway, and you've actually had some pretty decent weather. Boy, it looked like a couple of weeks ago that might not be able to get out there much and do too many things. But I tell you what, this past week has been actually pretty nice.
Yes, it has. I told the girls, too, we got lucky that we got to start on the Friday and the Saturday around here because I know a lot of teams were dealing with rain and stuff in the Houston area. So I feel like we're a couple days ahead. And the weather so far, we couldn't ask for much better. It's been a little chilly at the end of practice sometimes, like today. It was windy and pretty chilly, so we may have that tomorrow night, but not much rain, so.
All right. And how have things progressed so far? How have things gone as far as getting to know the players and getting to kind of get an idea of what you got here?
Well, I get to know a little bit more about each of them every day. Mm-hmm. I don't know about pushing their buttons just yet. I'm still kind of learning how, you know, which ones can take what and how they're going to respond to failure and those kind of things. And I think that'll come with game time and a little bit more pressure on them. So they're a fun group to work with, good personalities, and we have a good time. So.
All right. What are some of the things that have jumped out at you these first few practices, some of the things that have really impressed you?
Well, we have a group that I feel like can play multiple positions. So I think it'll be interesting to figure out where they're going to end up being and where our lineup takes us, because right now I could throw a lot of people in different spots, and we're going to have to figure out where our chemistry will go and which, you know, best nine we can get out there together. So that excites me. I also think that our lefties will kind of be our driving part of our success, and we have a lot of speed. So our lineup and offense and stuff will be based off of speed a lot more than the long ball as to maybe in the past. A few of our kids can hit the ball hard, but I think the people that are going to drive it are going to be our little ones getting on base and running a little bit. So,
all right. And really, as you come into the situation, it is basically a clean slate because you have basically – seven of last year's starters have graduated, and so really it's a wide open competition, and it's a clean slate.
It is, and it makes it a good time at practice too. That's one of the things I think we'll have to kind of battle through as we start playing is varsity experience, because there is only three of them that really have contributed at certain parts, and so that comes with more pressure, that comes with, you know, mistakes being made, and just it takes a little bit to get into that and get used to that. And so I think we will have a little bit of ups and downs due to just the experience factor. But at the same time, they're eager to compete with one another at practice, and it's fun. It's a fun atmosphere right now.
And speaking of competing at practice, I would imagine with a bunch of starting spots wide open, it will get interesting.
Yes, and especially, like I said, you know, a lot of them can play multiple positions, so there's nobody at a spot that's really just them by themselves right now. So I think they're confused as to what tomorrow is going to lead to. Where are we going to be tomorrow, you know? So I like that about it, though. That means we have a lot of athletic kids.
All right, and talk a little bit. We talked about it when you were here a few months ago, but for the folks that are just, starting to get into the softball mode of things, talk a little bit about your approach as far as we talked about what you see for the kids. What are the kids going to see from you? What are some of the things that you feel that your personality and your approach are going to bring to this position?
Well, I get fired up. I like to win.
Oh, things have not changed since the state championship team.
No, I will get very excited on the good things, but I will also show, if things don't go our way either. So very competitive in the coaching world as far as, same as I was as a player. I think that they'll feed off of that. They're learning me a little bit. I can tell that their boundaries, they're not quite sure whenever I do, raise my voice a little bit louder or whatever it may be, get fired up a little bit. They don't know how to react to that yet. So that'll be a growing, not pain, but a growing part of our season as well, them getting to know me. And I am fiery. So,
yeah. Anybody that remembers that you as a player probably doesn't have a hard time understanding that you're a pretty fiery coach too.
Right. Right.
Now, getting to these players, as far as the history of the Brenham softball program. I know the last Saturday night probably was a big step in that direction of getting the players to understand and appreciate what it's all about to be a Brenham softball player. How about as far as getting them to understand what the tradition is all about and what this program is all about?
I thought that was a great night to start that off. I couldn't ask for anything more for it to end that way with a big group of people that came together to support. I don't think that they realize how much support they have from the town in general. So when we walked and we were looking around the room the other night, it felt awesome to know so many people were in there to celebrate this program, its past, its present. And so I like to talk a lot about tradition and working hard and doing the right things all the time, and that's part of being a cadet. So that was something that was instilled in me when I was a part of this program as well. And so I try to continue to say, we want to win a state championship. We're going to have to push. We have to do the right thing all the time if we're going to do that. Or, tradition to me, when I think about Cobet softball, tradition is my word, and that comes with all doing those little things correctly. So,
all right, and we'll talk a little bit more about Saturday night here in just a few minutes. You've got a couple of your players with you here tonight, so let's introduce them and find out how they're doing.
They may be a little nervous.
I guarantee one is not nervous.
Oh, no, I'm definitely more nervous than Amanda is. I don't know.
So we have Amanda Little here. She is a pitcher. And Kat Marshall, catcher, and she's been a little bit at third with us so far in practice.
All right.
I decided we would bring the little battery to start it off, so here they are.
All right, and let's start with Amanda. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, and first of all, how excited are you to get the season started?
I'm pumped. I'm super excited to get to play with my friends and new coach, so I'm excited.
All right, and talk a little bit about the difference in last year and this year. Because last year at this time, everybody knew, Meg was going to be the main pitcher and all that, and you were kind of in the position where you could get a few starts here and there, learn some things. Now this year, you're the returning pitcher. What's it like coming back, knowing that there's a little more pressure on you this year?
It's honestly, it's pretty nerve-wracking, but it's exciting knowing that I'm going to have my team behind me and that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not very good with words.
I want to say one thing about Amanda. She has been working really hard for this role. And it's something that she has reached for and wants to be a part of. And she is a great team player. I'm excited to have her on the mound for us.
All right, and Amanda, last year, one of your starts, you threw a no hitter. How much did that, not just a no throwing a no hitter, but how much did that do for your confidence as far as saying, I can do this, I can pitch at this level?
Yeah, it was a big confidence boost to realize that I have the ability, I have the strength to be able to keep up with these girls and to pitch at their level and just kind of keep them off their toes, keep them off their feet. So,
and talk a little bit about your game. What are some of your key pitchers? What are some of the things that you feel that work for you, and some of the things that you feel you have to work on?
Well, I like to keep the ball low, so with all of my pitches, so my curve has pretty good break and I like to throw them off with my change. My change has an off speed, but it also has a big drop. And my drop ball is very effective whenever I keep it low. I need to work on my rise. My strength isn't as powerful in the upper zones as it is lower, but my strength is pretty good in the lower zones.
All right, and how much does it help your confidence when you go out there and know that you've got a veteran behind the plate in Kat that's been behind the plate for a couple of years that can that you can look back there and you know that you've got a player back there to help you like that?
Yeah, I know she always has my back, so it's very refreshing knowing that she's back there and we've played together before, so it's kind of, I'm comfortable with it, so it's good.
All right, and now we're getting close to those season opening games. How excited are you to get the season going?
Super excited. Butterflies in my stomach, but very excited.
All right. Amanda, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. And now we will turn our attention to the wallflower of the bunch, the quiet, probably the quietest member of this whole team.
Yes.
Kat Marshall.
Hello. Thank you.
How you doing?
Me. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So so what's up? What's going on? How's the season going?
It's doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How excited are you to get the season started?
Oh, I'm so excited. This is my favorite time of the year, and I think everyone can pretty much agree with me on that. High school ball, it's a good time.
All right. And as far as this season goes, as I mentioned to Coach, seven starters graduated. It's going to be almost a whole new bunch out there. How excited are you to look at a whole different team out there this year?
I'm excited. Like she said, I like watching like people like fight for positions, and it's fun to compete because there's another person that could easily come in and catch with me. So it just keeps me on my toes and makes me actually work harder for it.
And Coach said you've been working a little bit at third base too. How about that?
Yeah, I like third. It's probably one of my favorites besides catching.
Uh huh. You like playing the hot corner?
Yes.
All right.
It's exciting.
What are the things now with a lot of new players in the lineup, what are the things that they're going to need to understand and figure out right off the bat for this to be a good team?
It's not easy. You have to work. You have to constantly keep working in order because some of these girls that we're about to play, like in these tournaments and in district, they're really good, and it's going to be hard to keep up with them.
And one thing last year and the year before as well that people noticed was that you have a tendency to come through in the big moment. You seem to live for the big moment. You like to come up there like in the fifth, sixth, seventh innings with runners on base. What is it about you that you thrive on the big moment?
Pressure is a privilege.
I love being under pressure. It's the best part about being in anything competitive at all, is trying to pull through and win it, because I do like winning. And so, yeah.
All right. And as in your role as the catcher, as far as Amanda's game is concerned, what are some of the things that you're going to have to do behind the plate with Amanda in there pitching, as opposed to having Meg last year?
Well, with Meg, she had the tendency to throw harder, and so you didn't have to focus so much on the details. But with Amanda, she throws a little softer, but she moves it a lot more. And so I'll have to really focus on framing and making sure that I'm behind the ball every single time.
All right. And as you get ready for the 2018 season, district play, is it going to kind of be the same as last year as far as who are the best teams in the district and who's going to be the best competition for the Cubettes? Or are we going to see some new faces this year?
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously MagWest still has some of their better girls, and Willis supposedly has some good pitcher, but I think it would be about the same.
All right. So excited to get the season underway.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kat, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and Coach, as you listen to your pitcher and catcher talk, what are some of the things that kind of jumped out at you?
Well, first of all, I think that the group we have this year, they have played a lot together, so even though I said earlier that they may not have a lot of varsity experience on the field together, they've played in the younger years together a good amount. So they are familiar with each other, they like to have fun together, and they like to win together. And I think that that's huge, to have a group that I haven't seen very much fighting. And when you get a lot of girls around and we get tired and things like that, we can be a little, you know, and I haven't seen that yet. So I'm excited about their chemistry thus far and really just enjoying to be around one another. Other than that, what I think that we're going to have to do to be successful is really sacrifice ourselves and at bats. We're going to use some short game. We're going to do some things different. So people that may not be used to that are going to have to know, for us to be successful as a team, that we have to do that for our teammates. And I think that may be a new approach to the game that they may have to get used to this year. Not that they didn't play for their teammates, but just using a little bit more bunting and a different approach. Other than that, softball is a game where you fail more, and I want to, you know, recap on kind of what Kat said. It's hard. It's hard to be really good at this game. So we have to make sure that we're mentally in check and know that we're not going to hit 1,000, you know, and sometimes that's very difficult when you're not used to that, or if you're in a slump and you didn't hit last game, and we can, you know, getting our minds in the right spot to know that, you know, every pitch is a new pitch, every at bat's a new at bat, anything of that nature, and really working on our mentality will help for sure.
All right, and let's go back a little bit to two nights ago, Saturday night, the Washington County Events Center. It was the first ever fundraiser dinner for the softball program. Could you have imagined that it was going to turn out the way it did? I mean, I walked into that building and was just blown away by the turnout.
First of all, the decorating was gorgeous.
Oh, it's awesome.
Okay, and any time that I don't have to be a part of decorating is great. So she did, I mean, they just did a wonderful job on that. So when you walk in, I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, it looked great.
And then
it looked awesome.
Just people all over the place, you know. I was... just so excited about the whole thing, getting to see people really enjoy seeing each other again. I heard people walking around saying, why does it take this for us to get together? And I thought, well, if it takes this every year, then that's great, you know, for us to get in there and celebrate softball. So I couldn't have been any more happy for, you know, our turnout, for how the event went. Coach Mangan could have talked for a little. No, I wish he was listening. He could have talked for a little less. We couldn't get him off the stage. No, I'm giving him a hard time.
But I thought our speakers did a
great job. Yeah. And, you know, for the 96 team, for us to honor them and have 10 of them there, I mean, that was a great turnout. So it was awesome, I thought.
Yeah, and one thing that was part of that, how important was it for your players to see not just that 96 team together, but the emotion when people broke down when Coach Jasinski was introducing Coach Mangan. She had a tough time doing it. When Coach Mangan was up there talking, he had a tough time. When the speaker was up there,
Laura Lynn.
Laura Lynn. When Laura Lynn was up there, she had a tough time. So when your players see the emotion out of these adults that were part of something special, what does that mean to our current players to see this?
I would hope that you'll ask them that question in a second, but if it were me, it would make me really excited to want that. You know, I've had the privilege of being part of that, and it is special and it is emotional, but if anything pushes them to reach for a goal, wouldn't you think seeing that the other night, that would be a little reality check as to how awesome the sport can be and how awesome a team bond can be for that many years to go by and them still feel the way that they feel, you know, and they probably don't talk on a daily basis, you know, but still love each other the way that they do and be able to get together in a room and have a good time. And it's so much more special than just the game itself, you know?
All right, I'll ask.
Turn it over to them.
Yeah, Amanda, what about it when you saw the when you saw the players crying and the coach emotional, choked up, and he was talking? How did that strike you?
It's just seeing the unbreakable bond between the players. It's a family. It's not just a team. It's a family. So knowing that they still have that even all these years later is something that I can look forward to personally.
All right, and Kat, how about you? When you saw that when you saw Coach breaking down when she was introducing Coach and him breaking down when he was talking about the team, what did that mean to you?
I don't know. It was surreal, really. It's like the bond that team and like I'm sure any championship team has together is like it's something that you always like want and like something you strive for. And, like, the fact that brought out so much emotion in them is, like, it's just awesome and something to look forward to and hope for.
All right. And so, Coach, tell us now what's the next couple of weeks hold in store here as we get closer and closer to the season opener.
Taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, okay.
Always one day at a time.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we have scrimmages, 4:30 against LaGrange. And then LaGrange and Belleville are going to play in the middle of us, and then we have Belleville to close out the night. So it's just going to be hour and 15 minute, finish the inning. So we won't get a full game
right.
Scrimmage feel, but it is going to be a good time for us to see, you know, all the girls in different positions and get on them. Our JV Friday is in College Station scrimmaging, and on Saturday we go over to College Station, and we have Livingston, College Station, someone else. See, I told you one day at a time. Focusing
that's
on tomorrow,
it, yeah.
And then after that, we'll focus on the next one. So, but that's our week at a glance right now. And then we'll have one more week of scrimmages, and then our real games will start in tournament. So,
mm-hmm. I'll see. Going back to the previous conversation between me and Lumpy, Coach Belichick just would have said, "We're not worried about Saturday. We're playing tomorrow."
That's right.
We're playing tomorrow. That's all we care about. We got a game tomorrow.
And then we'll worry about the next.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it. All right. And, well, Coach, we look forward to having you back again at the start of the season and get some more of the Cubettes in here. But
like I said, if I would have brought them all in here, you should hear them sometimes when they get together. We probably wouldn't get much accomplished because they're giggly. But, yes, we'll definitely come and bring some more.
All right. But we had a great time with Amanda and Kat tonight. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
All right, and Coach, looking forward to it. The start of the 2018 season is here,
and it's right. We're ready. We're tired of just practice. We're ready to play a little bit in between. So,
all right, and again, of course, you can hear Cubette softball throughout the season right here on KWHI and KWHI.com, and I'm sure we'll be talking to these two after quite a few of the ball games.
I would imagine.
All right, Coach
thanks
Roberts, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
This is the Brenham Sports Line. We'll be back to wrap it up right after these messages.
The March primary elections are a little more than a month away. KWHI invites you to learn about the candidates for District 13 state representative race at our Candidates Forum on Wednesday, January 31st at 5:30 p.m. Attend the forum in person at Brenham National Bank or listen to it live on KWHI 1280 and on KWHI.com. Featured will be the five Republican candidates and one Democratic candidate running for District 13 state representative. Don't miss KWHI's Candidates Forum Wednesday, January 31st at 5:30 p.m. at Brenham National Bank.
This is a Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, Beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. No shortcuts. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we aren't afraid to fail, when we outwork and outheart everyone, this is the beer we'll drink. We've got things to do. Great, big, amazing, life-changing things to do. Ambition in one hand, Budweiser in the other. So when that prototype finally works, when we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore, when we win championships we're not supposed to win, when we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This is the beer we drank for the last 140 years, so it's going to be the beer we'll drink for 140 more. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
Tune in to the live broadcast of the Washington County Chamber of Commerce and the Brenham Industrial Foundation's annual banquet on Tuesday, January 30th at 7 p.m. Find out who is named Man and Woman of the Year, the Blue Blazer of the Year, and hear the keynote speaker, Dr. Henry Masoma of the May School of Business at Texas A&M. This broadcast is sponsored by Brianna Salad Dressing, Bluebonnet Electric Cooperative, Waltman's Welding and Fabricating, Thrivent Financial, Tranquility Landscaping, and the Washington County Chamber.
You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. Want to thank Coach Katie Bush Roberts and the members of the Brenham Cubettes, Amanda Little and Kat Marshall, for joining us tonight talking Brenham Cubettes softball. That first scrimmage tomorrow. Sweet! And I want to thank Lumpy, I guess if I have to, for being here in the first half of the program for our football conversation. As we talked about the Super Bowl, Lumpy picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. I'm picking the Patriots on a... All right, I'm even going to get down to the nitty-gritty on this. The game-winning touchdown will be Tom Brady to Danny Amendola with just over 2 minutes to go. The Patriots win it 24-20. There you go. We'll see how much that's worth. You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, brought to you by Classic Air Cleaner, South Mark Street. Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing. We'll see you again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.